Can you hear? Are we clear? Clear for liftoff. Take off. For making reverberations. Are we affirmative? No negatory. Come in, come in. Radio, what's your story? Ayahuasca kilo. Well, you're welcome. Are you ready for a better Echo Victor? Feeling wider than awake. Yeah. Better quicker than straight.
Invincible by Eddie Vedder. That's really cool. Welcome to Faith Matters. You're listening to Marie, and Denise is on her way. We're going to be into some good God chats today, I'm sure. So before we do, we're going to listen to some good sounds and get ready.
Yeah. the one who made the stars. I met him on the bathroom floor when everything was torn apart. Didn't know what I was living for. I almost gave up. I almost gave up. You met me in the mess I made and told me I was meant for more. You pulled me out of my mistakes and led me through that open door. That's when I woke up. That's when I woke up. Yeah. My sin is gone and forgiven. Got a shame at the bottom of the sea. You didn't come for religion. You want a relationship with me. And I found the gates of heaven. Took me a little while, but now I see. You didn't come for religion.
You want a relationship with me. I found the gates of heaven. Took me a little while, but welcome to the planet. Welcome to existence. Everyone's here. Everyone's here. Everybody's watching you now. Everybody waits for you now. What happens next? What happens next? I dare you to
to Faith Matters. Welcome, Denise.
Hello.
Hey, we're in the studio. That's great. And we're going to get into some God chats, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
We are in this beautiful sunshine. What a beautiful day out there, Whangarei. This is the place to be for sure. And maybe if you're joining us today, we're going to be talking about some Mythbusters. That's an interesting one. So we're going to start with... how many stories are in the Bible, Denise?
Wow.
So there we go.
How do you count them? You could go back to all the individual portions and you could count there's the story of creation and there's the story of Noah and there's the story of Moses. And then there's all the stories within their lifetime. You've got David and Goliath. You've got all these different stories. So... for some people, it would be an easier question to go, how many books are in the Bible? Because that's sort of a solid number. But actually, when you think about how many stories are in the Bible, it's actually one book, one story.
Mm.
And I don't.
And you're a book writer, so that's kind of interesting because, you know, somebody who's interested in writing, it's pretty evident that you can't come in halfway through a story and think that you know a story. You know,
yeah.
You can't come in at a chapter and, well, you might be able to, but you'll never really pick up the beginning, you know. And the beginning is always wrapped up in the ending, isn't it, in
yes.
the story? So
yes.
If you miss those beginning bits, you're not really going to understand the end bit. So
exactly.
How are we myth-busting this, Denise? What
Well, I just think, you know, people just think, oh, yeah, it's a whole bunch of old stories that aren't relevant at all to my world.
Right.
But actually, this one story of God making a way for us to be back in relationship with him is really, really key, and it applies to all of us in every day.
Yeah, and it's, you know, as a Christian, this story, I must admit, you know, there's some parts of the story that I know really, really well. It's a bit like I said, you know, coming in halfway through the book, and I truly believe that we can open the Bible up and definitely God's word can talk to us at any point in his story.
Mm-hmm.
But if we truly want to understand the story, I guess we have to start at the beginning. And I think for me, you know, the story in my understanding of Christianity pretty much started at Adam and Eve. You know, that's the one we're so familiar with and we hear a lot about. But over my time as a Christian and learning about, when I say as a Christian, just learning about who Jesus is, that's what it means, being a follower of Christ, you know. I've realised that the story's much deeper than the Adam and Eve story, which, I mean, in itself can be quite confusing and put a lot of people off because they don't understand how it works. And and so they're really coming in at a place that most of us know a lot about. But actually there's a beginning story before that actually can describe Adam and Eve's story a lot better for us because we have an understanding of heaven and God and the separation. There was a separation that happened in creation. Which, you know, for me, Denise, I mean, it's pretty simple, you know. There was defiance there. And in our human natural way of understanding defiance, we see that as rebellion. But it's even that is more depth because we're talking about a spiritual aspect of this that isn't a human response, even though we do have that response in us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand it in its big capacity of heaven and creation and the beginning.
Yeah.
So, wow, have I opened this up for you? Because I can't answer any of that.
Well, I'm going to sidestep what you're opening just for a moment, because when people think about the story of Jesus, often they think that's the beginning, and they don't realise that Jesus came to create remedy for something that was going on before he was around. So
he sounds like a doctor. Physician. Oh, okay, the great physician.
The great healer. So I can remember the first time that I grasped the whole concept that the Bible was one story, and I'd been learning about all these different stories we see in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, and then I suddenly read the first chapter of the book of Matthew, which is the beginning of the New Testament, which is where we sort of learn specifically about Jesus, and the list of names of people that were in his genealogy. And I just went, oh, wow, this is a whole story. It's a story of a family. And I just hadn't clicked that all those little bits and pieces that I'd learnt about in Sunday school all those years ago, they actually all fit together.
Yeah. So let's just pause there, because that a lot of people might not really realise that and have an understanding of that there is a genealogy here, a bloodline that goes. It's ancient. It really goes, and it's referenced right back.
Yep.
Through the lineage of the Bible, and it's amazing how God orchestrated these the coming together of people in this bloodline, and what it means to us when we look at that bloodline and the hodgepodge people that are in there, you know, and there's a whole lot of different people that are in that bloodline that you would not expect to be the pure bloodline of Jesus Christ.
Yes, because actually there was people from other nations, and there was, you know, prostitutes and Moabites and all these different people who you'd kind of go, what? But actually it's the story of a family.
Yeah.
And that is key, because God said to Abraham, who was the father of many nations, through you I will bless the entire earth. And so actually this story is to show all of us that we are all invited to become God's children. It's not about us and them. It's about God used this family to bring Jesus into the world so that everybody could be restored back into relationship with God. So
it's quite a bloodline too. And I guess, you know, we were talking about coming in halfway through the story, and which leads me back to the beginning again. Do we want to go there, Denise?
Yeah, we can go there.
Denise wanted to. I'm going to blame you, Denise, because it's not really my area at all. But in some ways it is, because I do know a lot about the spiritual aspects of things because of the environment I grew up in, which gave me a lot of insight. The story, the biblical story, that's probably not my forte so much, Denise. So I'm going to hand it over to you. We're going to talk about the Nephilims today. And who are they anyway? And interesting name that people might not even know what that is, but that name is in the Bible. And
yeah, well, the reason that I thought that would be interesting to talk about is because when we watch movies or TV shows or we read stories, like there's the Percy Jackson story where all the young people are watching, and there's all the Greek mythology and all that sort of thing, and also like the Marvel characters, you've got all these amazing superheroes, and we think of those as myths because they are Greek legends. And I can remember a few years ago, when I come across something that's a bit odd or unusual or I don't understand it, I tend to think, okay, is this in the Bible? And if it is, like, what's the good version of it? Like, is this something that's been a little bit twisted and turned around on its head, or is it how it was originally intended to be? And so I went for a little bit of a search in the Bible, and I found, did you know that Zeus and Hermes are actually mentioned in the Bible?
Oh, wow. No, I did not. I did not know that, Denise. Yay.
So in the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas, two Christian guys, go into a city, and they're speaking, and people are being healed, and the people there know the Greek gods, and so they assume that these guys are Zeus and Hermes. So apparently Hermes is the speaker of the gods and Zeus is like the big god. And so these people were trying to worship them. The guy who ran the temple brought a bull into the city. They were going to sacrifice bulls to them, and they really thought they were gods because they were releasing blessing and healing to people. And the people are like, well, this has to be supernatural. Right. Therefore, it must be from
linked to their to what they knew of as gods.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so Paul and Barnabas said, no, because the people were speaking in their own, it says they were speaking in their own dialect. So Barnabas and Paul perhaps hadn't realised what was going on until quite far into the piece. And so they're like, we are not. So the worshipping didn't take place. But that made me curious because I was like, okay, these guys are in the Bible, so what's with that? And then we mentioned a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the story of Noah. And if you know the story of Noah in a little bit of depth, you will know that when Noah was building his ark, God had said to Noah, build an ark. And when it describes what God was thinking, it says, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thought of the human heart was only evil all the time. So that's like really bad. But a couple of verses before that, we see that there was these Nephilim who were on the earth. And it says, in those days and also afterwards. So I looked up Nephilim the other day, and it means bullies or tyrants.
Mm,
okay. So there were these bullies or tyrants who were on the earth. And it describes what these were. It says when the sons of God... Now, there's a big question about who the sons of God are. Nobody's 100% sure, but some people think they might be fallen angels because, of course, when Satan turned away from God in heaven, he took some of the angels, they're called fallen angels, with him.
Just remember, this is the beginning of the story, folks.
And so it could be them. I've heard other people who talk about... actually another species, sons of God. I've even heard somebody, I know there's theories on creation of sometimes people say creation was 6 days long, literally. Some people say, oh yes, it was 6 days, but it was actually six periods of time. And I've heard people say that Genesis 1 was one creation because it says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and then at the beginning of chapter 2 it says God created the earth and the heavens. It's round the other way. And so they say, ah, maybe there was another creation before this one and the sons of God were from that creation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, oops. Yeah. So, I mean, I have no idea because I wasn't there and I didn't get to see.
No, didn't get to see that one.
But whatever it was, but then you think of the Greek mythology where they're talking about these gods who would come and have children with women. And so that's actually where this goes. When the sons of God, whoever they were, went to the daughters of humans and had children by them. And then it says, they were the heroes of old, men of renown. So this is your Hercules, your people like that. The Bible actually talks about them.
And the giants that are the giants that are still being discovered.
Yes, so it says here in that same verse, so Genesis 6 verse 4, it says the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward, so that they were in the earth before the flood and after the flood. So when you have Abraham's family, the children of Israel, going into the land of Canaan, well, we think, what an awful thing to do, to go in and destroy these people. But when you actually read about who was in there, they were giants in the land. And so some of the Nephilim can be giants. You hear different people, some people talk about them being other different species, but the word Nephilim means bullies or tyrants. So whoever these people were, they weren't kind and gentle and gracious. They were
You can read back on a lot of the history here of the sacrifices that they did and the debauchery of humans and life, and they had a very war mindset to seek and destroy.
And it was about power for them. So you've got the blood sacrifice. Well, they would sacrifice children or things that they would do to get power over areas. And so they were actually pretty evil. And so when Israel went into Canaan, that's who they were dealing with.
Yeah, and we're talking about the Israelites when they were walking in the wilderness and trying to enter the promised land.
Yeah.
And at that time, some spies were sent out, Joshua and Caleb, and to spy out the land, and the people that went with Joshua and Caleb came back and reported that the land was full of giants, and they were, in my words, too scary, and we're not taking them, like, we can't do this, like, we're just going to keep wandering another 40 years, we're not going in.
Yeah. But there was these two men who went, actually, if God has sent us to deal with these people, God will go with us. Let's go for it.
Mm.
And all the rest of the people sided with the other 10 spies and went, no, thanks. But
there was, these people that were in this land, and we're assuming they were the Nephilim, spiritually speaking, when we go back to the separation and creation from God and the devil, right? What separated that beginning time where everything was going really well and everything was living in unison, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And then there was, an upsurge, really, somebody decided that they could do a better job, or that they decided that we needed more to know more than or have more than we had. I'm not really sure how that all works, Denise, but I do know that there was a division that happened and a turning away from what was good and wanting what the spirit wanted, whatever that was in that time and era. I don't know.
I wasn't there. Well, maybe I was, didn't I?
Well, the interesting thing is, so yes, we've talked about this rebellion that happened in heaven, how Lucifer left with a third of the angels. So there's kind of this thing that's happened, this change that's happened. And when... So if you go back to Adam and Eve's story, so when Eve took a bite of the apple and Adam ate it as well, there was this complete shift that happened, and we talked about how they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and suddenly their eyes were opened to what evil looked
really
like.
Really was.
Yeah. So God came into the garden to walk with them and chat with them like he had regularly up until that point, and they hid from him. And so when they came before him and they had a conversation with him, he actually kind of made some declarations at that point. And he said, you know, Satan, you're going to be, or to the serpent, you're going to be crawling on your belly. You'll sort of bite at the heel of the man, but the woman's seed will crush your head. And so that's Genesis 3:15. That is the first promise that we get in the Bible that hints forward to that someone to come, the woman's seed. There'd be somebody who would be born of a woman. And so it's like from that point on, the enemy, as we were calling him the other week, didn't know what God's plan was, but could kind of listen in and get little tidbits. And he's like, okay, so there's something about the seed of the woman. So over time, you've kind of got, you might hear people talk about Nephilim or serpent seed, and it's that concept of Satan trying to get in the way and corrupt human DNA because he didn't want whatever this promised one to come. He wanted to get in the way and make sure that never happened. And so you've got, when he heard, oh, the promised land, well, that's this area of land, well, then why of all the earth were the giants all congregating there in that spot? Well, because he's like, well, if the promised one's going to be born in that land, let's see if we can make it so corrupt that actually this person, whoever this person is that God's pointing towards, let's make sure it's so evil that this one doesn't turn towards God at all, doesn't follow God. So there's this, when you get back to the beginning, there's this amazing string that goes through that Satan or Lucifer or the devil or whatever, hairy legs in your words, has kind of just, he's just trying to get as much information as he can and make sort of stop God's plan from happening. So God's got this plan. He's going to send this promised, the woman's seed, somebody who would crush the head of the serpent. And so this is a promise that goes all the way through that Old Testament. And so when we read it from a thousands of years later perspective, we're like, oh, well, you know, you can't go into a land and just kill everybody off. But when you actually realise what was going on, it sort of puts a whole different spin on it.
Yeah, and it's also recognising what that means for us today in the time that we're living. Because, you know, I've often asked the question, you know, even of myself, but I've asked the question on here is, you know, why do we move away from good? You know, why is good such a difficult thing to have or be or to move into or to keep relevant in our life, to be anchored in good and to do no evil, you know, or to do no harm? But our natural human tendencies is to desire to want something, to take what isn't ours, to want more than we have, and to feel jealousy and to feel aggression and all these kind of things that set us off course of being good, you know. And because it's part of our human condition.
Yeah, we've got that knowledge of good and evil as our basis now.
And we do. And being a follower of Christ isn't just a nice story. You know, it's not just made up. Is it fictional? Is that what you say?
Yeah, a fictional story would be like a novel. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that's not real. Like mythology. Mm. Yeah, it's not a myth. There's actually a book that was written and it has time frames, time stamps in it, and eyewitness accounts.
Mm.
So eyewitness accounts lead to a story that has truth in it.
Mm.
And I think that we forget that when we read the Bible because it's in such old language and we've tried to upgrade as much as we can without destroying what those words mean.
Yeah.
It's a bit like the treaty. We can't take the treaty and go and make it something else. Well, we can't gate the Bible either and then reframe the words in there to mean something different. So we have to read it for as it is.
Mm.
And that's where God's word is quite amazing because he can speak to us in that simple language.
Yes.
In those simple words that connect with our spirit, and something in us happens and changes and we get new information that's good information that will challenge the negative stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I found in my Christian walk.
Mm.
Is that connection allows me to well, the point of difference is I can go to something that's going to be far more nourishing and healthy for me to connect into and make a decision from or to what direction I'm going to go or how I'm going to react.
Mm.
Whereas if I come from my desires and what I want, it'll be go in for the kill, rip apart and tear apart and like, I'm going to nail you. You know, exactly. There's not a lot of thought put in it. It's just a response that comes from my own desires to get my way or to have something be heard.
Yeah.
So this tree of good and evil, and my question around what stops us, you know, why do we have such difficulty going to good? It makes us feel like, ugh.
The other interesting thing is we really do have a fascination with this stuff. Like you think of the, you know, people who enjoy these sorts of things, they really dig into it and just fully get immersed. And that's our tendency when we get interested in something spiritual, we kind of go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. But I think just a spiritual reality we need to be aware of is that these Nephilim were bullies and tyrants. That's what the word means. Mm. And so being aware that if you're digging down and getting more and more interested in something that actually its spiritual root behind it is pretty nasty, you need to be aware of what you're opening yourself up to.
That there is the key, Denise, because that now we're going into spiritual territory where we no longer can see with our human eyes the impact of our decisions or what we're doing.
Mm.
We're talking about the spiritual impact of that. And that's, you know, that opens up a whole doorway in our, you know, how we live and how we connect with the spiritual world around us and all the different ways out there that we can do that now.
Mm.
And really there's no questioning behind it. What am I opening myself up to? What really is this spiritual plane all about?
Yeah.
And, we're moving into areas we don't know a lot about.
Yeah.
And yet we tend to want to open those doors up like it's like it's a tree of good and evil.
Yeah, but you think so. A few weeks ago we talked about in John 10, it talks about the gate.
Yes.
Jesus says, I am the gate. And anyone who comes into the sheepfold through another way is a thief or a robber.
Mm.
But I am the gate. And so the spirit realm is absolutely real.
Mm.
God absolutely heals. There's amazing spiritual stuff out there. But if you go a different way that's not through Jesus, you're opening yourself up to thief, robber. And we talked then about the verse in that chapter that talks about the enemy comes to kill, steal and destroy. And so if you're going into the spirit realm another way, that's what you're opening yourself up to, which is not anything that I think any of us want. And we don't realize, we just go in ignorantly and think, oh, it's fine. It's really interesting. Well, yeah, it is really interesting.
Starts out good, huh?
But you have to be aware of what's behind it.
Yeah.
Good and evil. Which one do you choose?
And also, I mean, so the environment I grew up around, my parents definitely looked at the spiritual realm and, you know, all that it potentially had to offer. And I guess as a young girl growing up in that, what I noticed with the adults around me and what they were doing is that they were so focused on themselves that they didn't really notice what was going on around them. They were so busy trying to find this power, mm-hmm. try and find this whatever it is they were looking for,
yeah.
that the people around them, their families, were getting hurt by the spiritual input that they were encouraging to come into their life.
Wow.
At the unseen. And so in our family, you know, to have things bump in the night or to hear strange things was encouraged.
Right.
You know, which is all great and fine when you're an adult, but when you're a kid trying to just grow up, you know, children can be very susceptible to the spiritual world, and I know for me I definitely was. And I had horrific dreams and I had terrible demonic visitations at night where I could actually feel myself come out of my body and would see some terrible faces and things around me, swirling around me. And there was nobody stopping that happening. You know, there was nobody closing that door. In fact, they were opening that door for more and more spiritual activity.
Yeah.
And so their development meant attack on me pretty much, because I was the kid in the house and I was the young one, and so I was not really aware of what was going on around me so much as my parents. And so, you know, clairvoyance or sitting in circles, a lot of people wouldn't even know what that means, you know, just trying to contact the dead, really, in the spirit world was natural in our home.
Right.
Did it help me? Oh, hell no. I mean, yeah, it's a pretty hard one to try and unpack for people, because we're talking about the unseen world, and it had a huge effect on me. I think it started first in the things that I could see around, but then it affected my health as well. And I think that I had a lot of things go really wrong, badly, because my parents were so involved in trying to grow their spiritual self that they weren't seeing what was happening to the family around them. So that's the unseen. You know, we think we're doing something and it's all about me, me, me. But actually other people are being hurt in the process of what you're trying to bring in.
Yeah.
That's quite spiritual. I saw a lot of ego in that too, because everything that, you know, came from that spiritual world, money could be attached to it. You know, you could you could learn to do this, and then you could charge prices to read people's features or their cards, or maybe talk about some crystals and some healing.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good stuff.
Yeah. And I think we'll talk about that in a few weeks' time, talking about that, the whole counterfeit thing. So when these spiritual things like different types of healing and things like that, yeah, they exist, but are you focusing on the creation or are you the creation or the creator? Because the creator is the one who is the healer. Yeah. And, you know, like you think, eat your vegetables, that's really important. Well, that's because God put nutrients into the vegetables. So, yes, vegetables are really good for you, but let's not worship vegetables.
Amen, yeah. Like, how far do you take this?
Mm.
And I think, too, when it's the unseen world, it kind of gets us like, ooh, it's kind of like magic or something, you know. I want to know what I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
Tell me something I don't know, you know. It's that unseen. And so it's that goes right back to that root cause of wanting power, you know, that the very thing that separated creation in the beginning was the desire to want something more, you know. What would I want what I don't know, you know.
Yes.
I want this other thing. And then when we got the other thing, we realised it wasn't so good. You know, I mean, we're living with it now. We have attitudes in us that we have to keep challenging because they're destructive.
Yeah.
They are destructive. You know, we can, as human beings, we can go one way or the other. You know, we can have a good response even though we don't want to, but we can still give something out of a good spirit. Like, even though the person's done us wrong, we can connect in with the Holy Spirit and have a more peaceful way or a more calming way that's full of care rather than this other way, which, you know, is our natural way, which is like, how can I take this person down right now? What can I do to expose what they've done and then annihilate them, you know, because that's what we tend to do. We go in and we look for what we can pull out that will destroy another person rather than come alongside and perhaps want to heal that, come into the healing part of that.
Yeah, interesting, because we want to have the power, we want to get things our way, but often we forget that actually God is a good God. So I keep coming back to, you know, we as people are broken and human and flawed, but God is still a good God. And so, you know, even that, what you're saying, I want to expose stuff. Well, there's a good aspect of that, because God is just. He is a God of justice. And so, you know, if something has gone on that's awful, it needs to be made right. I think the institution of the church over the years has tried to sweep stuff under the carpet and just pretend, oh no, we've got to present ourselves as if we've got it all together. But the reality is, nobody has, and when stuff goes down, we actually need to have it exposed and dealt with. But that doesn't change who God's character is. It doesn't change who he is. It just means there's stuff that we need to be dealing with.
and how to work with that in a good spirit rather than one that is seeking to destroy. Because just because we're a Christian doesn't mean we've got it right. Like, this, I think it's quite laughable that people tend to put some wings on us, that we become angels or something because we've become Christians, you know. And all it's really meant for me is that it's given me a point of difference in my life to be able to work in a way that isn't my natural way. My natural way, like I say, is to see injustice and then go in for the kill, like, because I can, because I'll pull out what you did wrong and I'm going to show you and you're going to know it. And it feels good when I do that. It does feel good. It feeds something in me, like, yeah, I feel righteous now. But then the trouble with that is that as it starts to become a bigger picture, you see the damage that happens from that.
Yeah.
So if you're a person that can go in and do that and walk away and take no responsibility for the effect of what you've just done, you know, take off to your home or another community maybe after you've dumped your stuff and not see the response of that, well, you know. But the reality is that the words that we speak out or the spirit that we're working in affects other people.
Yeah.
And the repercussions of that. So to see the repercussions in that, you have to stay in it. And want to see your mistakes and own your own mistakes and go, well, you know, what would Jesus do? Oh, there it is. We're going to go into a song, These Days by Lauren Daigle.
This is what we came for.
indeed. These are the days. You're listening to Marie and Denise on Faith Matters 98.1 FM. We're coming to you live, so just remember that. Okay. You try sitting in here and just coming up with a stuff. We'll see how far you get. It's a good one. I mean, no, we don't take notes, and I am no theologian. What? How do you say that?
Theologian.
That's the one. See, I can't even say it, let alone be it. Yeah, and it probably wouldn't work for me anyway because I'd get stuck in all the finer details. And I want relationship, Denise. That's always been important for me. I've heard a whole lot of religious stuff, but for me, it's definitely about relationship. And we were talking about. We're talking about Mythbusters and stories in the Bible, that there is actually only one story. We talked about, the Garden of Eden and the separation right at creation there, where really that desire to rebel, mm-hmm. let's just put it there.
Yeah.
If you don't know what that word means, Google it. It'll give you a lot of different meanings in there. It'll give you a lot of understanding.
Watch a kid. You'll figure it out pretty quick.
Yeah. It is our natural way. It's an old word to rebel, but the meaning doesn't change, just like it is language. And it still has the same meaning. Rebel is to rebel. To want something more than what we have right now, and you're withholding something from me, and I want it.
Yes.
Pretty much. And I'm going to rebel until you give it. Trouble is, when we get it, it's often not good for us.
Well, it is. It's that self-focus, isn't it? You think, of Satan and Lucifer in heaven, who's like, hey, hang on, why is everybody worshipping God? I want some of that. I'm pretty awesome.
Yeah. Because, if you understood that story too, like Satan was the worshipper of in heaven. You know, he took care of all the music. Now, in our small capacity of our minds, we think of music like a band and like some strumming away there, the drums and whatever.
Yeah.
But that's not, we got to think outside our small little squares. So, worship is a word, but it's much greater than that. It's a feeling. It's a entering into. It's something that encompasses us and takes us to a different place. It is really amazing. That's what music does. It can really feed our soul and our spirit. But Satan wanted more than that.
But you think of music now. Music is really powerful still.
It's massively powerful.
For good or for bad.
I'd like to. We could do a whole show on that one. I truly believe. Yeah, music has a huge impact, and the words that are in it, and the tempo, and everything. We're impacted by it. Our spirits are. We can't help but be impacted on it. So if we're going to fill ourselves with a whole lot of, we'll end up very. If we're going to put some really good sounds on that make us feel, awesome. Good inside, it shifts things, brings the sunlight in, And so, Satan, he was in control of all of that. I call him Hairy Legs, but then that's what I grew up, knowing him as, good old Hairy Legs. There he goes again.
I wonder where that came from. That's the craziest thing.
I've never taken him too seriously, but he's as real as what God is. So, We have to take note that, at the beginning of creation there was a separation, and that has caused our human condition, which we are continuously fighting with. And we can see in our day and age now with the wars and the ugliness, that looks pretty much the same as it looked back in the time of Joshua and Caleb and the land of the giants. Let's just make that connection right there, that spirit that was back there in the Nephilim.
Still
and,
stirring
and
division.
They still conquer and divide. Divide and conquer, that was backwards or whatever. it doesn't matter. It's still in us that it's the... It's not the people, it's the attitude. It's something in there that has come right through creation, and we're living with that human condition. So what are we going to do, Denise?
Well, because you said divide and conquer and conquer divide, I thought I'd bring up your Sunday story. You said you were going to say something on air.
Oh, what was that one? I don't know.
You're 2,000 years, you're 3,000 years.
Oh, my gosh, yes, there we go. I felt so bad about this, and now I have to... And none of the church is listening, but anyway. So I taught the communion word on Sunday at church. No theologian. There we go. Just to prove it, I said that, you know, Jesus was crucified over 3,000 years ago. Maybe 3,000 or maybe over. Okay, so it's... the 2000, let's just put it right. It was but we have a date system, Denise.
Yes.
And it all comes from the time of the crucifixion. Yeah. You've got AD, which is after Jesus' death, and we've got BC, which is before Christ.
Yep.
Hello, there's some time stamps in our natural history that point to Jesus, the Bible, the story, and the whole thing. And yet we just refuse to even acknowledge that. Oh, yeah. We're so good at this other side, aren't we? There's part of us that wants to divide and conquer and own.
I was thinking before when we're talking, like we were talking about the thief and the robber, who comes to kill, steal and destroy, and how if we're not going through Jesus as the gate into the spirit realm, then we're opening ourselves up to some destruction, basically. And I actually just wanted to say, you know, for anybody who has gone into that enclosure a different way other than through Jesus, and you're realizing and you're thinking, oh my goodness, what have I done? There is actually hope. That's not the end for you. So God is inviting us all the time into relationship with him. And through Jesus, we can actually be restored to relationship. And actually, we're talking too about blood sacrifice, and that's why Jesus died for us, because his blood was shed. So Jesus' blood has incredible power in the spirit realm. It seems very odd to talk about it because we don't really do sacrifice nowadays. And the reason we don't is because Jesus did it. Otherwise, we would still be sacrificing cows and sheep and goats and all sorts of things still. But actually, Jesus' blood is powerful to wash us clean from the stuff we've been involved in. So I just want to say that, because if you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, there's no hope for me, what do I do, where do I go? Actually, God can restore what has been broken, stolen, destroyed, killed. He's all about taking what is broken and giving something in exchange that is positive and life-giving and gives you hope for your future.
And I think you're right, and it's probably a one for another show. I think people hear the blood sacrifice, and get really caught up and like, what the heck? what's that about?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean blood sacrifice? That doesn't sound too cool.
Yeah.
But you got to understand, blood is our lifeline. Our genealogy is in our blood. Oxygen is in it. Life is in our blood.
Life is in the blood,
We've got to think again outside the box on this. You don't just think of it as hearing the blood of and getting lost in that word.
It's not completely symbolic. There's actually a practical component to it.
Absolutely. And to understand the story, you've got to start reading the story and getting some insight into what that story is all about, because the history is all there. Like I say, there are time stamps in there. There are eyewitnesses, and it's our history. It points to where we come from and how to go where we're going, and gives us some direction rather than just... if we had none of that direction, I think, Denise, we'd all be looking like warmongers,
Yes, because everybody would do what they thought was best in their own eyes. But the thing is, when you have that situation, everybody's looking at it selfishly, and then their impact on others, they don't really consider that so much.
No, we don't, because we're Yeah, we are, I don't know how to put it, individuals, and that's not a bad thing, but we also come from family. We come from a lineage, and if we are trying to, you know, be individuals, then we are ignoring our history of all the people that came before us, all the ones that stood this ground before we got here. You know, we're just saying, well, there's just me.
Right.
And I matter, and what I desire and what I want matters, you know, but history also has a, what do you call it when you've been given something? A inheritance.
Inheritance, yeah, or a legacy.
So we have an inheritance, a legacy that is massive, Denise, and the spiritual inheritance is something we haven't even learnt to unpack yet. I mean, we're still stuck in the stories. We haven't even moved into the let's walk on water stuff.
Well, that's the thing. It's there, available to us, and yet we get bogged down in these little things. And so, you know, that's what I'm saying. The spirit realm, God is awesome. God has got all these things there. But we're too busy arguing over whether you interpret this way or this way.
I so agree on that one. Yes, I do. We're gonna play a song. Which one should we do? I
think. Why not Build a Boat?
Yeah.
By Colton Dixon.
I've been wandering through the desert. Ain't seen a cloud in forever over me. But I believe your rain is coming. Yeah, I've been hanging on the high hopes, 'cause you're the one who's making dry bones come to life. You're the light I put my trust in. Every word you say is gonna come true. You will lead me to the promised land. Everything you say is gonna happen, even though I haven't seen it yet. I will build a boat in the sand where they say it never ends. I will stand up in faith. I'll do anything it takes with you in my sails. Your love never fails or fades. I'll build a boat in the desert place, and when the flood and the water starts to rise, yeah, I'll ride the storm, 'cause I got you by my side with you in my sails. Your love never fails. I'll build a boat, so let it rain. You're the map, you're my compass. You help me navigate the currents under me. Take the lead, I surrender. Every word you say is gonna come true. You will lead me to the promised land. Everything you say is gonna happen, even though I haven't seen it yet. I will build a boat in the sand where they say it never ends. I will stand up in faith. I'll do anything it takes with you in my sails. Your love never fails or fades. I'll build a boat in the desert place, and when the flood and the water starts to rise, yeah, I'll ride the storm, 'cause I got you by my side with you in my sails. Your love never fails or fades. Say it never rains. I will stand up in faith. I'll do anything it takes with your wind in my sails. Your love never fails or fades. I'll build a boat in the desert place, and when the flood and the water starts to rise, yeah, I'll ride the storm, 'cause I got you by my side with your wind in my sails. Your love never fails or fades. I'll build a boat, so let it rain.
So we're listening to Build a Boat by Colton Dixon, and of course there's that reference again of building a boat to our story of Noah that we were talking about before. And so again, talking about the way that the Bible is one story, there are all these pictures in the first part of the story. So the ark, the boat that Noah built, was a picture of Jesus, because God brought the people into the boat. He brought the animals into the boat and then kept them safe while all the storm was raging outside and all this judgment was going on. He kept those guys safe. And it, that's a picture of Jesus, in that when we come to Jesus and he's that gateway that we go in and out of the spirit realm when we pray or when we whatever, if we're going in and out through Jesus, he keeps us safe. And so there's these pictures that if you just read the Bible, you'd just be like, this is just whatever. But actually when you start to see these things, are pictures, just keep, they just keep pointing forward to Jesus, keep pointing forward to Jesus all the way through. Yeah, it's amazing.
So you meaning like metaphors?
Yeah.
You know, metaphors, yeah. And metaphors are just pictures, and we use metaphors in our language all the time. But you were talking about the difference between, you know, coming in and out of that spirit realm. I really like the way you put that with Jesus at the gate. And, yeah, because the spirit realm is real, and there's lots of things we can attach to, but if we don't go to the right source, we're going to get a lot of information that might in the moment feel really good and sound really good and build up our ego and make us look amazing because we have some answers. But in the long run, there's a lot of danger that comes in with that. There's a lot of danger that's attached to that. And I can only speak from that for myself. You know, like I said, with my parents, we very much had a spiritual atmosphere in our home. But I was lucky enough to have a Christian auntie who was always praying over, and she was my dad's sister, so she knew what my dad was into, and she was always kind of, you know, it's not good and all of this, and it kind of caused a bit of a division for them both. But she was always praying for me, and she was always praying over me, and I remember her saying to me, you know, I'd have holidays with my nan and her, and they would take me to church, and had a lot of prayer over me as a kid, you know, and I remember her saying to me, you know, just call on Jesus' name, you know, and I had a picture of Jesus in my mind, and I'd already kind of had those connections as a young girl with God, you know, and so I knew the familiar feeling. I didn't really know Jesus. There was another time that experience that I had where I got to know Jesus. I'll just put that in really quickly. That also happened at quite a young age. I was on my farm and very much a loner. But I used to go down the back of the farm with the farm dogs. And, you know, this is my honest memory. You know, I remember it was a typical scene. It was a willow tree with a little bit of a pond. And I used to sit down there with my dogs and... I vividly remember speaking with Jesus there, that he would come and sit with me, and it was just as natural can be. It wasn't something I felt was weird, or it was just natural and beautiful and calming, and I just remember, I don't remember the conversations, Denise, but I remember the feeling, and my mate, he was my friend, and it was good to see him, and it was a great time. It was... there was something that was very nourishing for me and felt very safe. I think it was building that safety. So even though I didn't know that was Jesus as such, because I had this memory of God, it wasn't till later on in my life that I, when I thought back on those times, that I, that was Jesus meeting me there in those places and building relationship with me and trust, and I got familiar with his voice and the feeling of who he was or is, you know. And people would say, well, that's Holy Spirit, you know, and all of that, and anyone will have their own interpretation of that, but it gave me that those cornerstones for me gave me some help around the spiritual atmosphere that I was experiencing in my home, because when things got really bad, I did call on Jesus.
Oh, wow.
And I did get that point of difference. There would be a calm and a peace that I was already familiar with, that I could recognize and find some safety. And even though I didn't know what was happening around me, the spiritual atmosphere and why I was sensing and feeling the things or seeing the things that I was seeing, which were extremely disturbing for me, that piece that came was amazing for me. When, like I say, the spiritual atmosphere was so full on. I mean, we used to think there was a vortex over our house. You know, truly, you have no idea of my parents. I think back of my parents now, I'm like, dude, I am so tame. My parents were not tame. Like, they just weren't. And I'm quite astonished at my father. Like I said, we had a pyramid in our backyard. It had two beds in it. It was a healing centre. And we had so many spiritual people come into our home, and you know, they were clairvoyants and they would speak into your life and tell you this was going to happen and that's going to happen. And so none of it was I was pretty much geared up to be one of those. That's what was my calling, so to speak. But we'll talk about that another time. I had an experience of God in that too that put the stopper on that.
Interesting.
We'll talk about that another time. But that the point of difference being, you know, that I was very aware of the spiritual world, but I was also very aware of Holy Spirit and the difference and how good that felt.
I think there are a lot of people who have been involved perhaps maybe in the church years ago, and they were more aware of spiritual things than perhaps your average person. And
yeah, I think it has gotten quite a lot now. I think people are afraid.
Yeah. You
know, it's almost afraid to talk about it, and we're missing out on a whole lot of stuff here.
But that's right. But because the church rejected them over and over and over again, and they've maybe stepped out of the church, they still have connection with spiritual things.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope for their sake that they are still connecting through Jesus, but some of them I know, I've got several friends who are very spiritually aware, but they don't go through the Jesus gate. But, you know, guys, if that's you and you've been in the church years ago and now you're not, we miss out because people don't hear about the spirit realm, because there are very few people still in the church who speak about that stuff. And although it's challenging and confronting for people, like, we need you. Every part of the body needs to be represented. And without a whole group of people, because they got hurt and rejected at one point, actually we're the poorer for it.
I think it takes some tenacity. It's definitely not an easy journey, Denise, coming from what I know, because a lot of what I knew people didn't want to know, and we're quite, oh no, you can't, you know, that's not good, you know, so you never got to really discuss anything or talk about anything. It was, you know, closed down. But I had enough awareness and I had enough experiences in me with Holy Spirit and God and Jesus I was able to buffer myself, I think, enough to hear about Jesus and not be put off by people. People and their what they think is right, and their ways, you know. I had to learn that, you know, it's okay to come alongside another person who's not the same as you, but their spirit is the same.
Yeah.
They're good people, you know. We've just all got different ways of seeing things and how much capacity we have to actually hear something without, you know, oh, that's too much for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, I'm going to run a mile, I don't know what to do with it. Or like, oh, no, that's really evil.
Yeah. But that's the thing. There are people who absolutely flick straight away. Oh, that's, you know, and they'll label something, and it's like, oh, what's the good version of that? It's got to be, if it's some sort of a counterfeit, if it's been twisted somehow, there has to have been an original good version.
Yeah.
So I'm always curious, what's the original good version? Can we go back to what, restore what was actually the intent in the first place?
And I think and we're gonna head off now, we're gonna head off into our last song. We're gonna close this show off, and You know, I think the other time we talked about, you know, God, Jesus and Holy Spirit, and how can they be, you know, the three in one. And I just wanted to give out a little picture there of, you know, we can have, how can something be, you know, one and the same when it's three different things? And so I just wanted to leave us a picture with the, you know, ice can be ice, it can be steam, and it can be water. It's still the same element. Mm-hmm. It is water.
Yep.
But it can be three different states in the one thing.
Mm.
So, you know, don't, just think outside the square sometimes. You know, we get stuck in these, how can this be, you know, and actually it can be quite easily.
Yeah.
So, hey, if you're on a faith journey and you're wanting to know more about Jesus and God and Holy Spirit and Bible and the beginning, and oh my gosh, there's quite a story. It's going to take you a long time. But it's worth every step.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome to join us on Sunday at Raglan Area School, 10 a.m. We have got an awesome speaker this week. We've got Denise speaking. Yay! Crowd in the background. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I've been looking at her stuff because I work on some of her visuals. And, yeah, she's got a whole bunch of learning in there for you folks. So, yeah, hold on.
Yeah, so
you're
here
in for
we are.
A ride.
We've been looking at Mythbusters today. So we've been looking at, you know, some people who either think Jesus is a myth completely or that he's completely isolated, that you can just completely ignore the first part of the Bible, that it's no longer relevant. Well, that's not the case. The Bible is one whole story. But also perhaps the surprising Mythbuster that people wouldn't expect us to go down is that some of those myths are actually based in truth.
Yes.
And there's a spiritual reality out there that we need to be aware of how we're interacting.
Mythology and to question some of that stuff. You know, our history is amazing. When you got to look back sometimes to go forward. So I'm going to leave us with, this is a beautiful one. I can't say his last name. Can you say that?
Mick Huerta.
Stefan, there we go. Come Jesus, come. This is a beautiful version. Enjoy this great day. I hope you enjoyed the conversations. Might have opened up some questioning of your own, or maybe you want to have some conversations in your home about these things. Or you want to join us on Sunday and learn what prayer is,
what worship actually is like
what
to experience.
Worship. Yeah, man, that is incredible. And a great word to ruminate on over the week. So kia kaha, everyone. Stay blessed out there, and we'll see you next Friday on Raglan Radio 98.1 FM.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray, come Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Come and lay it all down.
it might be today.